Thank God. Well, we've been in a series for some time. You know, we were in it last fall, and then we kind of re-hooked up. Never really finished it. Got off to some other things. I believe those are the things we were supposed to cover, but we've come back around. We've been in a series called Seek First the Kingdom, and we're covering some things. And I believe this is the right time, that we're right where we need to be. I believe that these are the things we need to cover now. And so I'm excited. Let's read, let's go ahead and turn. This is our text. Let's turn over to Matthew 6. Just put your eyes on it. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 24. Everybody there? Yes. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." All these things will be added to you. Verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added to you." That means seek God and His way of doing things. He is a righteous God. He's a holy God. And we are holy, set apart as His people. The Bible says if we'll seek Him, if we'll do things the way He would have us to do them, then He said all these things that we need on this earth, they'll be added to us. It means you don't have to add them to yourself. Glory to God. So many people are trying to add them to themselves. Things, stuff. Trying to make themselves prosperous. Well, we have our part to do. But really, what our part is believing God and believing His Word, acting on what He says, and doing what He told us to do for our lives. We're really just supposed to be going about the Father's business. It's not really supposed to be that complicated. You just find out, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want for my family? What's our part in your plan? And then I'm going to line my life up with the Word of God, and I'm just going to go about my merry way enjoying it. There are going to be some challenges along the way, because God said, Jesus, when He was here, said, "You're going to have trouble in this earth, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it all." So just because you have a little challenge doesn't mean we're supposed to fall apart and say, "Oh no." We're supposed to say, "God, Jesus told me this would happen. Jesus told me there was going to be challenges. But my job is just to keep going along, doing His Word, doing His plan for my life, and enjoying it, and overcoming, and going up. Until one day we leave this earth, we leave our children with a good testimony, tell them, guys, I'm going on. It's my time to go be with Jesus. But I've run my race. I finished my course, as the Apostle Paul said. Now you guys take it from here. God is good. God is faithful. He's just. You follow Him. You do His Word. You listen to what He's told you to do. And just run. And go. And enjoy it. Now I'm getting out of here." And we go on, and then the next generation keeps running. It's really just supposed to be like that. Now, I know the world has just complicated, made a mess of things. That's because they're not looking to God. They go and people are just squirrely in general. They just want to go, just go over here, and then, you tell them, do this, just go over here. And that's, God knows that better than anybody's looking at the world, and it's not that hard. But people want to go, they go off right from the beginning. Go off and they try to do it their own way. They don't want to listen to the way the Lord wants it done. And so you got all these religions all over the world just serving dead, lifeless non-gods, serving stuff they made. You know, you whittled some kind of something from a log, and then you call that's your god. Good. That's brilliant. They bow down, that's our god. This thing you made. You know, fashion something, melt some metal down and make this image, and that's your god. Well, okay. Why? Why, you know, you just look at some of these things and go, really? People believe that. Well, they just gone off and they choose to believe some stuff that doesn't line up at all with the Word of God. They have troubles. Whole groups of people are not living at all the way God would have them to live. They're serving idols. And in some cases, there are gods behind those things, and they're actually serving demons. They've basically yielded themselves to the devil, whether they know it or not. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So they're having havoc. Whole, you know, nations that have gone after certain ways of believing are just poverty stricken. That's not God's best. It's because people don't listen. It's just, it's God. I'm not saying we're going to go through life perfectly, but a lot of it is just we will not listen to Him and do it His way. We want to do it our way. And when we do it our way, His way is tried and true. The Bible says the Word of God has been tested. It's pure. It's tried. It's been through the fire. It's the Word of God. Our way, it just came out of our mouth, you know, a few moments ago, whether those moments are 10 years or 20 or, you know, an hour. It's only a few moments compared to the eternal Almighty God. And it's yet to be tried. I mean, just again, I've said things like this before, but I just read it like last week or something, where now people are saying, they're coming out and they're like, well, actually, and about food. It changes all the time. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now they're saying, well, you know, actually, real food, you know, stuff that actually has some good fat in, some of these things we've been telling you to lay off, actually, we think that might be good for you. People are just messing up their bodies going off through all these diets. Well, that's no news, because 20 years ago, it was the same thing. 40 years ago, it was the same thing. It's a theory based on a lack of knowledge. Certain knowledge, limited, I should say. You have certain knowledge, it looks okay, so we go with this. This looks good, until it's not. And you're the guinea pig. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, we got to base our life on what God says, because it is true. It'll be true today, it'll be true tomorrow, be true 1,000 years from now. But people, by nature, just want to zigzag. They just want to just go off and try something else. Let's try something new. If you hear something's new, you better automatically just look at it skeptically, because the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Yeah, there's new technology. Okay, that's not the same thing. People haven't changed. They have not changed. And people are the same everywhere. Every culture is the same. Now, you have differences about the way people act, but fundamentally, people are the same. And the flesh does not want to do what God wants you to do. And a carnal mind does not want to do what God would want us to do. It wants to go do it its own way. But God just puts it down and He just says, you know what? You seek Me. Do it My way. You're not going to have any problem with stuff. You're not going to have any problem living. You just won't. Why? Because He said it. It's that simple. Amen. So we've been talking about this for quite a while, and I believe we've covered the things that we need to cover. We just got done talking about the Sabbath, and if you didn't listen to some of that, I encourage you to go on the website and listen to those, because we just, God helped us and just wrapped it up to a certain point, and it will help you. Now today, we're going to get into tithing. And, you know, what can I say? The stuff we talked about last week hits us kind of right where we live. This hits us right where we live. And I know in this day and age, people in general. This whole series, we talk about seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. And we said from the beginning, this is about a lot where our heart is and about serving God. And it's about how we handle finances, because that's what that verse is about. He's talking about people going off and worrying about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat, and all these things. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. Well, this is a thing, tithing. What does that mean? And what should we do as Christians? And we've said it throughout this time. God has a lot to say about how we handle our earthly goods, because these things represent our life. And this isn't a light thing. And a lot of people in the world have misunderstood, because of their ignorance or because certain things have happened, like we've talked about in the body of Christ, and finances haven't been handled correctly at times, and even nationally people have fallen and done dumb stuff, and it gives a bad name to Christianity, and it gives a bad name to the Lord. But it doesn't change the truth. Do we want to know the truth or not?
Yes.
I do. I want to know what the truth is concerning any area, all areas in the Word. Because this Bible is our handbook for living. This is the owner's manual. God wrote us. He did not leave us helpless. He gave us a written holy word that we're to use to guide the affairs of life. And how many of you know that finances are part of the affairs of life? If anybody wants to say they're not, they're just playing games. Right?
Yes.
If they think we should not cover these things in church, you're playing games. I want to know how to handle my money the way God would handle it. Do you?
Yes.
This is not a side issue, because you spend probably waking time, as much time, or close to the amount of time, if not more, working than you do with your family. Everybody say that's pretty close to true?
Yes.
Waking hours. So why would we say that part of my life, we'll put that to the side? We won't talk about that. No, we need to talk about it. We need to know. Because if that's messed up, that can affect everything. And the world has all kinds of ideas about these things. And if they're not based on God's Word, then they get people in trouble. And we as Christians, we have to be aware, as we do in every area. But really, in this area, there are just ideas that just are not godly, that people take as wisdom. Because other people say it. Well, we should do this. We got to be careful when everybody's saying the same thing. If it's not based on God's Word, that doesn't mean it's true. Not everybody has a right motive. You know that. Some people just want you to do certain things with your money because in some way it serves them. Not necessarily going to serve you. Amen? So we're going to, we're just going to get into this. Oops. We're just going to get into this and just be led by God and cover the things He needs us to cover. But today, let's start out in Malachi. Where is that? It's right before Matthew. It's the last book of the Old Testament. So right before Matthew, and you may have a few pages or a page that says New Testament or something, then you're in Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 10. Everybody there? It's on your sheet. Actually, we can start in verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, 'In what have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Talking about Israel. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. Let's go back a little ways. First of all, the tithe. And I just want to say this, you've heard me say this, but this will be on the recording too. I don't see what anybody gives in here. And that allows me freedom. Now, I sign your at this point, probably not even next year, maybe just Shelly, she's the treasurer anyway. Sign it, but I sign the notices at there, the receipts at the end of the year, but I don't look at what's on there. I just block it and just sign them all. But I don't know. So that allows me freedom when I'm talking to you guys, when I'm preaching to you. I really don't know what anybody gives. And that's by design. So when we minister the Word of God in different way, in on different issues, one of the things, I'll just say this. This applies to everything. But one of the things people will tend to think, because the enemy is the same everywhere, is if somebody in the pulpit is ministering on something, especially if they know something about a situation, they're talking to me. That's one of the people's biggest fears is when something's being said from the pulpit that really it's being they're being targeted. Could be true in sometimes somewhere, but I will tell you when we minister, when I minister in this church. Number one, just so you guys know, when you deal, if you've never ministered under the anointing yourself, when you minister, I'm not thinking like, yes, things are going through my brain. I'm saying words, articulating words, but the driver is coming from my spirit. It's like you're bypassing certain parts of your mind. I'm not processing certain things. And that's why certain things, I don't remember what I said. I don't remember necessarily, especially if there's certain parts where it's particularly, if there was a word of knowledge. So you're doing your best to go right past your mind and speak it out of your heart. And that's when I'm preaching up here, is what's going on. I don't see half of you guys. It's interesting if you've never experienced it. I don't even see you half the time. I do, but like people will come in and go out, and sometimes they'll say, "Well, did that be disruptive?" I didn't even notice. Seriously. Now I'm conscious when I'm talking to you right now because I'm talking about certain things, but when I am hooking, and a preacher should, you're hooking yourself up with what's coming out of your heart. And so there are times where even if something, I'll be speaking something and it's just coming up, and I'll realize after I said it, oh, that I know something about some situation, but I was not even conscious when I'm saying it. Or if in fact sometimes there's something that's coming up, and then I'll be specifically conscious of something, like as I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, so and so has something they could think I'm saying something there. But I've learned if there's something that's coming out, and I believe it's by the Holy Spirit, and I don't say it. So many times I've gone ahead and said certain things, and it's somebody else that's dealing with something that I don't even know about their situation. And had I shut down this situation or not said the thing I needed to say, I'm actually robbing people. And so it's a hard thing, but I have to shut my brain off. It's the hardest thing when you know something about people to minister certain things, because if you don't know anything, you can just flow with the Spirit of God. You don't get your head in the way, because it's never like, well, this person's going through something, because you don't know. That's where if you're a traveling minister, sometimes you have an advantage with that. That's why I've told you, we won't talk. I don't go and talk about what's going on in the congregation with people when they come speak. I know that will hinder them. Number one, I don't go around talking about people's stuff. But number two, they have to deal with it then. Whereas they can just come in, and if they're saying something, they just know that, I don't know anything about you. So if it's coming out, and half the time, if somebody is flowing with the Spirit of God, it'll be like they're reading your mail. Yeah. Why? Because it's God. It's not, if they're flowing with the Lord, then it's coming out, and they're hooking up with what's in their spirit, which is hooked up with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and they don't have to worry about their head because they don't know anything about you, and it's supernatural. Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to work. But preaching's the same thing. A similar thing. It's still flowing with the Spirit of God. So we go and flow with what God would have us to say, and preach along the lines of what he would say, what he's emphasizing his word, and you just have to shut your mind off. And just let the word be the word. Because at the end of the day, it's not what I say. It's not what any person, any preacher or teacher would say. It's what does the Lord say. And we have to let the word be the word in our lives. And the enemy, he always tries to get people offended with something. That's why he'll look and try to attack the person. Like, well, you don't want to listen to what they're saying because their hair's funny or something. Or I don't like the way their suit looks. Or because why? He's always trying to create noise and confusion so that the word doesn't get into a person's heart, so that doesn't grow and change. So I am fully aware, when we're talking about these things, this is, I don't know your backgrounds are, but this can be, the enemy has blinded and kept people ignorant in this area and so much of the body of Christ. And I'm fully aware that we are just hit, we are going right into an area that can be sensitive, that people can have offense, they may have had something in the past. I'm just being blunt with you guys, where they were offended by somebody with money. They don't like to hear certain things about it. But the Word of God clearly teaches certain things on finances, because it is how we handle our finances reflects a ton about where our heart is. And we are giving our life for what is a means of exchange. And if God doesn't direct us and guide us on that, we are missing a whole chunk of our existence. And the fact is, he's not that way. He has very much given us direction. And if our heart's true, we want to know what he said. And if we're true to what our desires are, if we're true to what we've said our desires are, then as, and this is the same in every area, as the Word of God comes into our life, we each always have a choice. Are we going to act on it, or are we going to shelve it in any area? And when we decide I'm going to shelve it, I'm not going to act on it, then we deny the word the right to change us. And we basically push that aside, push God in that way, and say, I don't really want your will for my life here. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. So now this is something, and we're going to start here, but let's go back to verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now, before I get in further in this, there's several weeks ago when we started getting into the Sabbath again, we talked about the difference or what role the Old Covenant has with us as Christians today. And I encourage you to go back and listen to that, because I can't cover that here again. But just because something's in the Old Covenant does not mean it doesn't apply to us today. Look at your Bible and how much of it. This is New Testament, because Malachi's right there. I mean, including the Gospels. And then look at how much of it is Old Covenant. It's Old Testament. Not necessarily all of it's Old Covenant. It's still the Word of God. We interpret the old in light of the new. The Bible nowhere says you throw out everything that's before Romans. Because Romans is where the actual letters to Christians start. I mean, the accounts of Jesus, the Gospels, are actually the twilight in between the New and the Old Covenants. Otherwise, we as Christians would just have this, the New Covenant. Just these letters. But it's not true. That's error. That's a lie. There are lots of things that are solid, like we talked about. Not going to go into it, but like we talked about. The majority of our legal system is based on what you find in the law. Are we saying we've founded this nation on these principles and they work? Well, that's just not valid. Oh, it is valid. Go read the Proverbs. Proverbs has so much wisdom. Solomon wrote a good portion of the Proverbs. Is the wisest man that walked the earth apart from Jesus. And you talk about business sense and dealing with people. Read a proverb every day. Read, you know, consistently. It is so rich. But no, there's so much in the Old Covenant. We talked about how just because we're in the New Covenant doesn't mean it's a reset button. That if it's not, you know, laid out in the same way in the New Covenant, that it doesn't apply. That's error. It's wrong. It doesn't line up with Scripture. You will find principles throughout the whole Word of God. Now, what we do have to do is interpret what we read in the Old Covenant in light of what we know in the New Covenant, that Jesus has come. And what did he do? But there are things that people say, well, Jesus has come, therefore anything that looks like any kind of commandment doesn't apply to me because that's bondage. That's wrong too. Because it's a commandment doesn't mean Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, we need to understand, we need to interpret things in light of the new covenant. But under the guise of that, some people have just taken it and taken to extreme, and they throw out basically anything that makes them uncomfortable. Which, if you've lived any time at all, if something makes you uncomfortable and you're going to throw it out and you're not going to do it because it makes you uncomfortable, you're not going to get very far. Huh? Well, I don't like that. That makes me, that's hard. Huh? You learn that really quick, even in school. Well, that's hard. I don't, what? You, somebody, no, I'm not going to say that. But recently, you know, in school, right away, well, I don't like that. That's hard. That's challenging me. Well, good. You're learning something. Huh? Well, I don't like this. This is hard. You're not supposed to suffer under things that are under the curse. But just because you have to do some hard work, or things are challenging you mentally, or things challenging you physically, does not mean it's of the devil. Huh? There's some stuff that your flesh just wants to say, forget it, and it's totally of God. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about stuff Jesus suffered. But he did not bear, you know, everything so that we did not ever have to work in life. We didn't have to put our flesh down. No, on the contrary, he said, Paul said, I put my body under. Just because you have to say no to something, that's not of the devil. I just can't suffer. I just can't do anything that would cause me to feel the slightest bit of discomfort for any period of time because I'm not under bondage. I should be able to do whatever I want to do whenever. Good luck with that. Good luck holding a job like that. Well, I just thought I'd show up at 4 o'clock this afternoon when I'm supposed to be there at, 8 o'clock. I didn't feel like being here. Okay? We'll see how long you keep that job. Now, if you're supposed to be there at 4 o'clock and going in the evening, great. But it's not about us. And this world has gotten very self-centered about me. Like we were saying, what's in it for me? And it's gotten into the church. Verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, when what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you are cursed with the curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now right there, we'll probably cover it some more. But in the new covenant, Jesus has bore the penalty of sin. So when it says you're cursed with the curse, well, we got to interpret that in light of the new covenant. And he's talking specifically to Israel there. That doesn't mean you're cursed if you don't tithe. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Is it sin not to tithe? Well, it's missing the mark. It's not what God would have you to do. Now, God is merciful, and He's gracious, and we're not under the law, and we're not under legalism. So we have to walk in life based on that. But I just want to say, you're not cursed if you don't tithe. But that doesn't mean there are no consequences. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Everybody know what a tithe is? A tithe means 10%. It means a tenth. It means a tenth of whatever. That's all it means. It just means 10%. It's not, people have made it a religious term, but it's not really. It just means a tenth, literally. So it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now just stop right there. If you read that verse, does it look like God is setting you up to be hurt for tithing? Huh? Does that sound like, if this is happening in your life, does it sound like you're hurting or you're doing well?
Doing well.
Huh? I mean, look at what it says. See now. And he says, try me. Try me. He's like daring you, daring the reader. He says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Does that sound good or bad?
Good.
So if you just stop right there, you're already thinking, so why would somebody not do this? Because God's got it out for him. If he's trying to trick us. Where's the bad here? Huh? The Bible says, do we believe what the Bible says or not? He said, we'll quote this stuff, but then we'll look at something and go be like, I don't know if God really means it. Like Jeremiah 29:11, people love to quote this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. He's like, I'm not... Just do what I say. I'm really not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help here. Just do what I say. But people are like, don't believe it. So when you see this, and he's telling us, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. He said, I'm going to dump on you so much you're not going to be able to contain it. Well, you got to build more. You got to change. You got to go up because there's not enough to receive it. That's not a bad thing, but people look at it. I mean, right there, everybody, with your eyes open, that's not a bad thing. So why do people, just right, if we were to stop right here, why do they try to avoid it? I'm talking about humanity. Why is that something that people don't want? I'll tell you the very simple answer, because people are deceived. If you as a Christian have more than you can, you have the money coming in, and you don't have enough room for it, you're going to be given it, you're going to be doing what the Lord would have you to do. The enemy does not want Christians to be in that position. That's a threat. It's that easy. He does not want Christians to be in the position where you have things coming in and you're doing, helping to get the work of God done. He doesn't want that. He wants us poor. He wants people, he loves the doctrine that you should be poor and humble. And if you have anything, you're covetous. People don't believe this outside of church anyway. They don't. Nobody really believes that. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. Some poor fools may believe it, but seriously, the normal person does not believe something like that outside of church. They may sit in church where people are saying, you know, it's just we just have to be humble and we don't want any of the world's goods. And then they go right out the next day, Monday morning, and they're going like gangbusters to make sure they get as much of the world's good as they can possibly get. Right? Is that not true? They come right back into church and they're telling them, well, you don't want any of this stuff. Nonsense. It's just, that's not true. People are they doing everything they can, jumping over everybody and pushing them out of the way to get as much of this stuff as they can. They don't believe it. You tell the person that you owe your mortgage to, well, you know, we're just supposed to be poor. Great, get out of the house. If you really, you know. It's just, it's not even intellectually honest when people believe, they say they believe it. Like people say they believe that it's God's will to make them sick, but they will go right to the doctor and do everything they can to get healed. You're doing everything you can to get out of the will of God. If you really believe that it's God's will for you to be sick, take your medicine. I mean, take what God has brought to you. Don't try to get out of the will of God. That's hypocritical. If you really believe it's God's will for you to be sick, then be sick. Don't go to the doctor. And if you really believe that it's God's will for you to be poor, it's not that hard to do. Not that hard to be poor. Huh? Be as poor as you want to be without much trouble. Give all your stuff away. Get rid of your house. Get rid of your place that you live, whatever, sell everything, and there, boom, you're there. Now you got it, now's where the rubber meets the road. But nobody really believes that. I mean, majority of people don't really believe that. And that God does not want that. God is not poor. I know I'm just kicking the religious cows right now. I don't know how much people have in them from before, but there's a lot of denominations that teach along these lines. But I'm telling you right now, it's demonic. Yes, I said demonic. It's devilish. It's trying to make the church believe that there is something wrong with them having money. And so it's this tearing thing. It's like, well, I want to be holy and right, but gosh, I want the best for my family. And it sets up this false conflict that doesn't actually exist. God is not against money whatsoever. He wants his children blessed. He just doesn't want people to be so concerned with money that they're going to hurt themselves and not serve him. Period. So this thing about the combat is set up by the enemy. He's poked the two things and said, well, this is really in conflict. It's not in conflict. That's not what the Bible says. And if you look through the Word, you don't see this doctrine that you have to be poor in order to be godly. God just doesn't want the stuff to have such a hold on you that you won't listen to Him, which is what we've been talking about. That you cannot serve two gods. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You can't. And if those things are going to be, you can't serve. It doesn't mean you can't have money and serve God. It means you can't serve money and not serve Him. And this is an absolute throw down the gauntlet test right here. It's true. Because 10% of our income is a good amount. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not based on how much it is, it's a percentage. We say, well, it doesn't matter to me. Well, I think it matters. And so He's telling us to give 10%. And that hits people. We're going to get into some stuff, but I mean, let's just be honest right here. It hits people and go, I can't do it. Let me ask you a question. As the government has upped the taxes over the years, you're going to say, no, I can't do it? Huh? I mean, there was a time way before I was born. Just heard about it. Well, you know, income tax, it's a percentage point. To do everything that we needed to do. It's way far away from that now. Well, we could afford it then, in those days. But now, who could afford it? Is this not where we're at? Is this not where a lot of people are at? I can't do it. Well, why? Because, well, we have all these expenses. Let me ask you a question. Does any of this change the Word of God? It doesn't. It doesn't change it one bit. What did God tell? What did He say? If we bring all the tithes in the storehouse, what did He say? He's going to open up the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing that we can't contain it. Is that still the Word of God? But what about 2016? Because surely He did not understand what we've been facing in this country. He knows we can't do it. Really? Is that true?
No.
That's not true. But you don't understand. See, as long as we go in that circle, as long as we say, but that's the problem and what hinders us from receiving what God has for us in every area. It's not just this area, it's in any area. If we in our marriages say, I know what God's Word says, but I can't do it. You're not going to be able to get what God, the kind of marriage God has for you. I won't do it. I just can't do that. You don't understand. I won't do that. Okay? I don't believe that God wants me well, okay? I don't believe that He just wants me to be free from any kind of sickness and disease. I just believe it's His will. Sometimes we have to suffer. Okay. You won't change. Okay. It's not just this area. It's just that this hits us. I know this hits us square in the eyes. I mean, in general. I don't know. Where people, I'm talking about in general, with people, where they're at, in the world. But we have to just let, as we go through this, we just have to look at the Word. I know we're just kind of setting the stage, because this is, it's like we were talking about with the day off. It's similar. But I think almost this takes it up a step. I'm just being totally just blunt with you guys, honest. Because we're not playing games. I'm not teaching this because for any other reason than I believe this is part of the Scripture and is vital to us walking in everything we're supposed to walk in. Frankly, this is not comfortable to teach. But it is what God's Word says, and I will be shirking my responsibility if I don't teach this part. And honestly, if we want people blessed, we have to have the full counsel of the Word of God. And we all have choices. And that's why I'm glad I don't know where any of you guys are at in this area, because I can teach the Word. But I'm not going to try to go around the side. I'm not going to act like I'm not talking about what we're talking about here, because I know full well when we talk about finances, the devil will come in and he tries to disrupt. He tries to get people offended. He tries to get them riled up. Why? Because the truth is coming forth right now. He likes people in bondage. He doesn't want them to prosper. He does not want the kingdom of God to move forward. He likes the doctrine that you should be poor. He likes doctrine, well, it doesn't really matter what we do, and God understands. Lies. They're lies. God understands, but we tie his hands when we don't do what he tells us to do. He might understand exactly why we're doing things in our marriage, but if we neglect his word and don't do what he told us to do, it's not that he doesn't understand. It's not that he doesn't love us. We tie his hands to be able to do what he wants. And it's the same financially. Some people have preached that God, in the new covenant, God's just, you know, they're preaching it as if, in the old covenant, they did have ramifications. We read it as far as the Sabbath. If you were caught out doing the wrong thing, you're supposed to be killed, stoned for doing the wrong thing on the Sabbath. Thank God we don't live under that. But that was the rule of law that they had, because they did not have a regenerated spirit. Well, today, you're not going to fall over dead if you don't tithe. God, there'll be people dead everywhere. No, you're not going to fall over dead. You're not cursed. But you know, it's kind of like, you don't have to, if you're married, you don't have to be nice to your wife either. Huh? Everybody looks at me blankly. You don't have to go out on dates either. You don't have to be kind. You don't have to, you know, walk in love. But it sure helps. You get benefits from it. Huh? People are like, well, I don't have to do... It's not about what you have. You don't have to do a lot of things. Again, you don't have to go to work, but there's consequences for it. You don't have to control what you eat, but there's consequences for it, right? I just don't want to do that. That's control myself. Well, there's consequences. The wages of sin is death. Anytime we go off and we don't do what God would have us to do, there's consequences in our life. God cannot do what he wants to in our lives. Did we just read what the scripture said? What is the part that he said, if we would bring all the tithes into the storehouse? What did he say would happen? He said the windows of heaven are going to be poured open so that you're going to pour out such a blessing you can't contain it. Again, going back to that, is that a bad thing or a good thing? So why is that? What's this thing that people are like, well, yeah, but I'm not going to that. You can't tell me. What is that? It's why would people be agitated? Why would they be frustrated? The enemy works like that. It is as clear as day right now with what we're talking about. It is so simple that the enemy has tried to derail people and make it so that they fight against something that is supposed to be a blessing. And then the enemy will come and say, why isn't God taking care of you? Why isn't he doing a better job? And he knows full well that one of the things that's not happening is the thing he's fighting against. So he gets people in a position where they won't. They're some way against tithing because they think they're free from it. Yeah, they're free from being blessed the way God would have them to be blessed. But they're fighting against it at the same time, blaming God because they're not being taken care of. That's because they've been deceived. Now, I know we're just hitting some things, flying over some things here. But I know, and you know as well as I do, some people look at this. Says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not be room enough to receive it. And people there will say, there's plenty of people that have money and they're probably not tithers, right? People say that. And where are they with their lives? You cannot pick and choose. When you look, God has told us as Christians to do certain things. When we look at certain things, we say, well, yeah, but we are trying to go outside what God said and say, well, yeah, but this is an exemption. This means the word isn't true in some way. God will bring each of us up in His word. You will have as much money if you're following God as you can handle. Period. But God will not put money into your hands that is going to destroy you, no more than you would do that for your children. He will not do it. God's way is not man's way. Men are going after money 100 miles an hour trying to get stuff. They don't. Many men and women, I'm using that generically, they don't care what gets in the way. They don't care if they're giving up their health. Half of them don't understand that they are because they think that never is going to catch up with them. So they're running 100 miles an hour in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, and they don't realize that they're using up their life later. They'll blow up their marriages. They won't maintain their marriages because what they're going after something because they need it now. They won't take care of their children's their relationships with their children. They won't take care of relationships with people. They'll step on people. They'll damage relationships. They'll burn bridges because they're going after something and they need it now. God does not see that way. He is always just. He looks at the long haul. He values people. He values relationships. He values being able to have a healthy body and a strong body. And He will go at a pace that will keep all those things intact while still you're blessed. As your character goes up, as your ability goes up, you increase. And that's the way God intended it. But we live in generations now where they think they have to have everything their parents have and more right away. Not going to build up anything, not going to work for anything. I just need it now because after all, I'm entitled to have it now. I ought to have it this way. And so they hurt themselves doing this. How many of you understand God is not in a hurry? He's not. You can try to get Him in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. The Bible says that the faithful person, he who believes shall not make haste. He who believes shall not make haste. See, we're so many times just in this quick, I got to get it now mentality, I got to build it now, I got to have it now, and we don't look at the long-term consequences of things. God's not like that. So yes, I mean, you look through the Word of God, you see examples. I mean, David. You read some of the Psalms and you see why are these people that don't serve God, why are they prospering so? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. There's different places in the Word where there's the writers saying, I don't understand this. What is going on? But then he said, and then I saw their end. And then I realized their end. God's way is always the best way, and He wants the whole person well all the way through the process, the life. He never trades things that actually aren't that valuable for things that are valuable. Relationships are valuable. Your relationship with God is valuable. Your health is valuable. Money is transient. You could have money one day, have to make a payment on something, the other day not have it, have more later. Just because you lost money does not mean you've lost really anything. Money's important, but it's not all important. And this the issue of the tithe, God gives us the ability to be fully connected and invested in what He's doing. And it allows him an opportunity in our lives to help us. It gives him the legal right to get involved in our financial affairs. It's an investment. And it goes two ways. It gives him the legal right to get involved in what we're doing. It gives us the right, as we're invested in what he's doing, then we open ourselves up to get for opportunities. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Look at all the good. Again, who in their right mind would look at this and say, I don't want any part of that. Never mind, I don't like that. Who would do that? Nobody in their right mind would do it. But somebody that's been lied to, somebody that's been listening through, the enemy can lie to people, can lie and get people to start believing this is actually a bad thing. When you look at it, he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And actually, when you take the action of tithing, you by your action are actually rebuking the devourer. We're in the new covenant. We have authority over the enemy. And we are putting this in place and just shoving it right back. Say, you can't touch my stuff. You can't do it. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Now, to us today, that means your stuff's not going to wear out. It's not going to break right away. I mean, people, they think they don't realize they're doing. You're not saving any money by not tithing. A person is not. It actually, stuff breaks. And this isn't to put fear. This is just the reality. It's like we haven't put the proper mechanism in place. When we get up and we invest in God, it gives him the ability to help us with purchases, make things more efficient. Instead of buying that thing, you buy this other thing, which is going to last you and meet your needs. He has the opportunity to lead you. He has the opportunity to bring things into your path for you to invest in. He has the opportunity and the ability to bring clients across your path, raises across your path. It's not a magic thing that works in isolation, but it works in concert with the rest of the Word of God. And it gives him the ability to get involved here as children of God. It says, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. We have a legal right to go before God. He said, try me. He said, test me. He said, if you do this, you watch. I dare you to do it and see if this doesn't happen. You know what that means? It will never happen that God will fail. But when you see something, if you're tithing and you go before God and it doesn't look like something is happening, now you don't get sassy, but you go before God and you say, God, you said in your word, this will happen. You said, try me. You said, you'll pour out a blessing that I won't be able to contain it. You said, the stuff won't wear out. You said, you'll rebuke the devourer. You said, I'll be blessed. I expect it. And not in a disrespectful tone, but you have confidence with God. This is what's going to happen. God's word is at my back. This is what's going to happen. This will happen in my life. And again, I ask the question, who wouldn't want that? Why wouldn't we want that? Why would we say, no, I don't want that? A main reason for a lot of people is either they've been deceived or It's just the money coming up against the Word of God, which is the very thing that we read in Matthew. You cannot have two masters. That's what we've said this whole time. This is getting right to where it hits us square, is that we cannot serve both of them. You cannot. And if the reason, if one of the reasons is we either think we shouldn't do it because we think we're supposed to be poor, we've bought into some lie, or we just hold on to the thing that I can't. And what it is that that has a hold on us. The money has a hold on us more than what God said. And it puts it, it's right there, and it's like, well, but God, I see that, but I can't do it. And as long as we stay there and say, I can't, it's the same in any area. I can't, I can't, I can't, I won't, I can't. Because when we look at this, I know I'm going, I know we're not doing this over and over in certain areas because we're slow. It's because we're hitting things that have been ingrained over time. And when we bring the Word of God in front of us, it is washing us. It is bringing it to where God right now, the anointing right now, is making things clear and pushing cloudiness away. So we can see clearly. Again, who thinking clearly would not want the results we just read about? Nobody would. If you just advertise that and say, hey, you get in this investment and these things are guaranteed to happen, most people would say, too good to be true. That can't be true. But this is God saying it. And He said, I dare you to do it. I dare you. You do it, and this is what I'm going to do. And it's the Word of God. Who wouldn't want it? The answer is, nobody that truly understands wouldn't want it. Nobody would pass up. It's an opportunity too good. But for various reasons, the enemy's duped us. The enemy's duped us to say, yeah, I know that's what you're saying. I know that's what the Word of God says, but there's a catch. There's a catch somewhere. I can't put my finger on it, but there's a catch here. People just want money. They're going to do something bad. This doesn't say anything about an organization or people. You notice that. It's God. Take the organization out of it. Take the people out of it. Just look at what it says. Amen? I know this is like front and center. Not pulling any punches here. It's hard to. It's hard. We have to hit these things straight on because they have such a hold in our society. Amen. They're trying to. It's been over time. The enemy's not stupid. He gets in over time, and he gets in there, and he gets people to rationalize. And if he gets you in the rational, just like, I'm going to think about it and figure this out, because you can't figure this out anyway. Look what you're saying. I'm going to give money away, yet I'm going to have more than if I wouldn't have given it away. The world cannot understand that. Because if I give money away, I don't have that money. You have to believe in a God who's watching over it, His Word to perform it, to believe that actually that money is going to come back to you and you're going to be better off than if you ever gave. There is no way you can believe that without believing a God that keeps His Word. If you think this is all magic and fairies and hoopla, then you will say, I give it money and it's gone. I might do a good cause, but it's gone. That's not what this says. It says you invest in the kingdom of God and you are going to be better off than you ever could have been had you held on to it. That's what this is saying. That's what the Word of God teaches, and it's not just this verse, and we'll get into them, I believe. That takes faith in a God that watches over His Word to perform it. You say, how does it happen? I don't know. But I've seen it happen my whole life. I've tithed my whole life. There has been, I'll be honest with you, there's been temptations where I said, do I really need to be doing this? But I've done it and give over and above my whole life. I would not preach this if I did not do it. And I have seen God open opportunity over after opportunity, and I've seen Him be faithful in things that they were the right decisions, and they paid off where we couldn't see. did not understand, didn't have that kind of foresight, but they were the right things, and he's done it over and over, and I'm excited about what you could not get me not to tithe. People say, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God.